Today, we're going to re-air an interview that we did earlier this year in September between Chris Prytire and myself discussing the rise of the deepfake, fake news, fake videos, and two scenarios that are likely to unfold before the 2020 elections or soon thereafter. Some of the topics that we discuss are big data, psychographics, micro-targeting, social media, revealing the invisible book, which was an interview that we also conducted last year that was very interesting, hacking, foreign election interference, artificial intelligence, and much more. This was a really fun podcast that Chris Prytire and I put together. So look forward to hearing your feedback. As always, you can send us your feedback by going to our website, financialsense.com, and hitting the contact us button.
FS Insider, a premium edition of the Financial Sense News Hour. Today's host is Senior Editor Chris Sheridan.
Most of what we discuss on our show involves trends affecting the markets and the economy, but on occasion, we do like to step outside the box and get into matters of technology and society.
That's right. And one of the most widely discussed areas where we see these two things intersecting currently is when it comes to fake news, fake videos, often called deepfakes, and their growing use by China, Russia, Iran, and others for influencing U.S. elections. This has especially become a more frequently discussed topic as we get closer to the 2020 presidential elections.
And to be clear, we're not going to give you a political or partisan spin on this issue. Our goal today is to talk about this from a big picture perspective and also make some predictions on where we think this is eventually going to end up. Just to give you a preview of where we're going with this, it's a world where it's not only going to be very difficult to distinguish between real and fake, but one where a significant majority don't even care. Of course, even more important is how AI fits into this as well, but we'll get into that later on.
Now, before you say, but yeah, we already live in that world where distinguishing real from fake is hard to do, or people are manipulating the line between those two, one thing we want to stress in today's podcast is how technology is involved in this process and how it is going to continue to evolve in the years ahead in a way that many of you probably haven't considered yet.
So, Chris, where do we begin?
Well, let's just quickly retrace some of the developments that lead us to where we are today and then start to make some projections from there. When it comes to modern technology, particularly big data, the first successful use of it, and I mean leveraged nearly as far as you could take it at the time, was seen in the 2008 Obama campaign.
Yeah, we're not going to get into all the details of how it worked and how successful it was, other than to say that big data, meaning the amount of data available on people and even the computational power that's required to process all of it, it finally reached a point that by 2008, data scientists could develop really a very accurate, high-resolution map of how people would vote around the country, which were the swing voters, and what it would take in order to either motivate them to vote or, conversely, get those on the other side to not vote.
Yeah, so this is called micro-targeting, and it has now become and will continue to be, I think, indefinitely into the future, an instrumental part of how politicians, political parties, and even foreign agents either reach influence or manipulate people to think or behave certain ways.
And you know, what a lot of folks are probably thinking listening to this show is, oh, I'm not that easy to manipulate. This stuff doesn't really relate to me. Well, keep in mind that you're listening to two robots right now.
That's right.
Not human beings. So if you've been thinking, as you've been listening to this show, that these are your normal hosts, well, frankly, you've been fooled.
That's right. I'm actually a fake-generated Chris Sheridan.
And I'm a fake Chris Prytire. But it turns out that really we are manipulated because all of us, every single one of us, have deeply ingrained biases, triggers, and preferences for things that, in many cases, we're not even aware of on a conscious level. And those things drive us to make the decisions that we make. And in fact, the level of data that's now available on every person, and it spans hundreds of different categories, but that level of data is astounding.
Yeah, in the past, before social media, online web tracking, which includes all of your purchases, what you read, watch, search for, et cetera, before that, the personal profiles that were available on people were really quite limited. You know, it would be things like your age, gender, income level, occupation, and where you live. Today, however, the profiles created from our digital exhaust are so comprehensive that they go well beyond mere demographic information into what is called psychographics.
You know, Chris, that's been around for a long time. In fact, some of our listeners may be familiar with that word, psychographics, especially with marketers. But that term historically really gained attention with the news around Trump's usage of that data in relation to the Cambridge Analytica scandal that broke last year. And Cambridge Analytica built personality profiles for more than 100 million registered U.S. voters. And according to reports, it could predict a person's personality profile and behavior, get this, with the same accuracy as a spouse.
Yeah, so that's pretty intimate right there. And just as a definition, Wikipedia defines psychographics, in case you haven't heard of this before, as a, quote, qualitative methodology used to describe consumers on psychological attributes. Psychographics have been applied to the study of personality, values, opinions, attitudes, interests, and lifestyles. Because this area of research focuses on A, activities, I, interests, and O, opinions, psychographic factors are sometimes abbreviated to AIO variables, and that's often how it's referred to in the marketing world.
You know, one of my favorite interviews where we touch on this very subject was with Thomas Kalopoulos when we interviewed him on his book titled Revealing the Invisible, How Our Hidden Behaviors Are Becoming the Most Valuable Commodity of the 21st Century. And we'll have a link to that interview, the full interview, in the show notes section, but I want to play a clip of what he has to say on this.
Tom, one thing that really struck me about your book was the astounding scale by which human behavior is being commoditized today. Let's talk about that and how this is becoming or is already the new global currency.
This book is written with a great deal, I think, of realism and optimism. It's not a gloom and doom book, but nonetheless, when you read it, you get a sense for, as you said, the sheer scale of data that's being captured about all of us. And it's not just Facebook. I mean, we tend to focus on Facebook, right? But it's being captured by dozens of players who are looking at our in-store behaviors, looking at our online behaviors, looking at us through digital cameras that capture our physical behaviors. All of this is creating this enormous asset base that tells you a great deal about who I am, what I do, and maybe what I'm likely to do going forward. The reason that we call it the invisible is because there's so much that you and I do on an ongoing basis behaviorally, which we don't even notice about ourselves. If you asked me for certain preferences I might have or certain habits I might have, I have a natural bias. And the reality is a lot of what I do, I don't keep track of. If you begin to keep track of my behaviors empirically, things begin to emerge that might even be surprising to me, but nonetheless are truths. Truths about, you know, how many times I brush my teeth, how many times I floss, simple things like that, but also behaviors about how I drive. I mean, I think we all want to believe we're above average drivers, right? It doesn't work that way. The reality is that we exhibit behavior in those moments when we are not conscious of it, and nothing has been tracking that behavior until recently. So the invisible is, on the one hand, all the nuances of what you and I do thousands of times each day that begin to create a persona, what we call a digital self in the book. The other side of the invisible is that we're starting to see devices that are equipped with artificial intelligence exhibit behaviors. And when you're in a car, an autonomous vehicle, for example, which we talk about a great deal in the book, the first thing that strikes you is, my goodness, this thing is behaving. It has some sort of an intelligence about it that is able to assess the situation. It has situational awareness. And that behavior is invisible because we don't expect that of machines. So suddenly we're thrust into this new normal where the machines begin to exhibit behaviors, and at the same time, simultaneously, our behaviors are being captured by them. It's an interesting new dance that we're doing with technology.
Okay, so here's where things start to get interesting. Most of this data that we're talking about is now fairly accessible and widely used by all sorts of companies. I mean, think Netflix, Facebook, Apple, Twitter, any Amazon, e-commerce, all of this data is accessible and it's distributed amongst all of these companies and the apps that we use on our phones as well. Because of that, foreign countries like China, Russia, or Iran can and have already hacked into a lot of this data and are actively experimenting on how to use this. We only saw the tip of the iceberg on this in the lead up to the 2016 presidential election when it came to fake Twitter and Facebook profiles used to disseminate false news and misinformation, and it's going to continue to grow from there.
Well, you know, the next step, and this is really where a lot of researchers and investigators are focused right now, is how are these greater and deeper data sets going to be applied in the 2020 election and even beyond that? In fact, will Facebook, Twitter, or even other social media platforms be able to determine real profiles from the fake ones? Will Google be able to make this same determination when it comes to its search results? You know, each of these companies, they've been asked this by Congress, and for the most part, they're assuring the government that they're taking steps to eliminate the spread of fake news, but it really causes one to wonder.
Yeah, here's the problem, though. That's only half of the story, this whole fake versus real news, because once you begin to know a person's invisible motives, biases, the words or issues that cause them to act or steer their thinking in a certain way, the battle is much less of an issue of a real versus fake news. It's about manipulation and doing that manipulation in a way that the people being manipulated may not even care what's being told them isn't true because it already appeals to them at a very deep subconscious, let's say, emotional level.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, Chris. That is truly, truly the bigger concern and probably not really addressed by most folks that are talking about this on any level. So going back to that clip with Thomas Kalopoulos, he said there are two sides to this revealing of the invisible. One is our invisible motives that are captured through the thousands of nuances and actions that we make online every day. But the second is that devices, algorithms, and software, they're increasingly being equipped with artificial intelligence to make decisions that we don't even see. They're largely invisible to us.
We said that we were going to explain how this was likely to evolve in a way that many of our listeners don't expect. And you and I talked about this briefly at the end of another podcast we did several months ago. And that's when it comes to the increasing use and sophistication of deep fake videos.
Well, and most of you have probably heard about these already. Maybe you saw the video that we posted a few months ago or seen these videos created using artificial intelligence to make people, and by the way, either real or simulated, to make those things say anything you want. And if you haven't seen any of them before, we'll have a link to a top 10 deepfake videos compilation that was produced several months ago, and you can watch it on our site. And I really encourage you to watch. Some of them are actually pretty darn funny, but here's two scenarios that we want you to imagine on just how effective these will become.
Yeah, and just to provide a little background on these, once again, deepfake videos, what they do is they can take a person, a real person, or they can create a simulated person. And what they can do then is now have them say anything they want. The way that they do that is if you have enough speech that's been collected from a certain person, well, then you can compute on that using a neural network, machine learning. You input that in, and then basically the machine learns your intonations, it synthesizes your voice, and then you can type into the computer whatever you want that person to say. And then by using, again, neural networking to manipulate the person's lips according to what they would say, you can create this video where it appears as if any person is saying anything you want. Now, this can be done, again, for real people that exist or fake people. But let's think about the first scenario. The first scenario would be using a video of a real person and then using the AI to have them say something fake. Now, for example, let's put this into context. Let's say you were to take all of the negative stereotypes, perceptions, and ways that people across America think or speak about a politician or a sitting president they don't like, and then use all of that information to create a deepfake video where that person basically confesses or says everything in a way that aligns with everyone's worst impressions. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, if that deepfake video is created using pieces of what that person has already said or what people already believe about them, will others even care if it's fake or not? Could such a deepfake video actually tip an election one way or another if it were to go viral?
And that's an interesting question, because we've seen examples where an accusation about someone, a politician, can bring them down, even if it's determined that there was no research, no facts, where that politician's gone down. And then you have a situation where there are proven facts and people just don't care. So this is going to be really interesting going forward to see the kind of impact that this sort of thing will make. And going back to psychographics and revealing the invisible, if this deep fake video that you're talking about was optimized by pulling not just from public opinion and comments, but from their own personal search history to reveal their own invisible biases, weaknesses, and motivations for all the public to view in a way that made them look absolutely horrible, that would be even more powerful.
Right. And all that data is there, and the technology is already there to do it as well. I mean, it's just a matter of time before this very likely becomes a new way of committing character assassination. I mean, there's a good chance we could see this used on Trump before the 2020 elections, wouldn't you say?
I think that's really possible. And that's why I even brought up a moment ago how fascinated I am as to the power this may or may not have, because if you think about like the Access Hollywood tape and a bunch of things that came out prior to the last election, some of those things didn't stick. So as technology really ramps up and makes these things more effective, more compelling, more believable, we may see this move the pendulum in a very important election. But that's the thing, though. Even if it's fake, if it has just enough truth to it and looks real enough, people probably wouldn't even care that it's not actually Trump saying it and that it was created by AI. To a certain percentage of the population, it'll appeal to what they think and just enough of what they may know to be true and that he might as well have said it. I mean, think about how powerful that could be as a weapon.
Yeah, very powerful. And just to repeat, we're not taking a political position on this. So Trump is just the sitting president, so we're using him as an example. But clearly, this could be used on both sides of the aisle, right against left, left against right, or even foreign agents against U.S. politicians. So we're talking about this technology from a big picture and any actor that could use it, because it exists today again. So what's scenario number two, Chris?
Well, the second scenario is an artificially generated person. And I'm not talking about Max Headroom. This would actually be something, this would be assumed to be real. Someone that doesn't actually exist, but optimizes the message, the facial features, even the intonation to any number of viewers by using the same data sets as a way to maximize believability over any sort of topic that you can imagine. And to put this in perspective, imagine creating the most beautiful actor or actress with superhuman acting skills, and this person can say things in such a way where they appeal to almost anyone. And this might sound a little far-fetched, but this isn't very far from current technology that we have today. And you could even have this person tailored to every individual to relate a message, or you could even have it optimized to appeal to the largest majority of people, maybe even both.
Yeah, and here's a really far out thought is if imagine this person was created by a large number of people, they assented to creating this digital persona, and they were to input into it, hey, here's all the things, the goals that we have for certain issues in policy that we want to achieve, and we want you now to optimize the messaging or the communication behind all of these beliefs that we collectively feel about, and you are going to be the leader that is going to communicate that. And that could be a real person or a person that lived historically, or it could be a purely fake simulated artificial intelligence. So there's many different possibilities out there. And I know that sounds a little bit sci-fi, but we are going to stop there and leave you with those two scenarios to chew on. But just as a reminder, if any of what we discussed today seems too far out there, we will have a series of links to research articles and some of the latest deepfake videos to look through. I would highly encourage you to look through all of that and or some of it if some of this is unfamiliar to you. And if you have any feedback on what we discussed today, simply email cris@financialsense.com, or you can also leave us a message on our Contact Us page. I'm Chris Sheridan.
And I'm Chris Prytower.
Thank you for listening to FS Insider.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.